Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is good to gather in a building safe from the wind. I learned something in my studying this week, and I'm excited to share it. A new thought. Did you ever hear the verse, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Then the verse right after, "To him that asketh is going to receive." I often bring up that verse or hear that verse when God is not answering our prayers, right? But do you know the context of where that verse is given? That's what hit me this week. So we're going to get to that later. That's coming up. Before we get there, a make-believe story. So they're here in Myerstown. There's this Myerstown beverage place. And there's a sign out along 501 that says adult slushies. Well, I really enjoy trying a couple adult slushies here and there. The other week when I went there on Saturday evening, I was going down the street ready to pull into the parking lot, and I saw Eddie coming out with two boxes of drinks. I couldn't believe it. So I followed him to his house, and I saw the party he threw. So I need Eddie to come up here, and we are going to tell him what he did wrong. What would you do if I did that? Eddie threw a party. He was at the drink place in Myerstown, and that does not follow the guidelines that we agreed to here at church. This is ridiculous. I wish some of the bishops were here. Do I have a proper heart and motive in that? Do you know that I was also on the street, headed to the same place? No, you don't need to know that. But by me bringing Eddie up front and making him a spectacle in front of you all, it makes me feel good. Because I would never grab two boxes. That's all false. But that is exactly what the Pharisees did we're doing at the time of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're headed back there. And I just shared that story. It sounds ridiculous to us. But yet, at our heart, our accusations, our criticism, too often comes from a weakness inside of us. And a desire to make ourselves look better or to make somebody else look worse, when in the reality we are in the exact same sin or error. In John chapter 8, we have the woman caught in adultery being brought to Jesus. An interesting story of Jesus teaching, and the Pharisees drag in this woman. And if you look at the context of it, it's obvious that they were trying to trap Jesus. And so I'm pretty sure that they set up this lady somehow, because it said that the man and the lady were supposed to be stoned. That's what the law said. But only the lady came. So obviously they set up a trap. And they bring the woman to Jesus, and the law said, stone her. Were they wrong in that? No, they were right on. The law said she needs to die. Jesus just looks at him. He's there writing on the ground. Jesus, come on, what you gonna do about this? And Jesus stands up and he says, all right, those of you who have no sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. And we know the story. They drop their stones. They turn around and they walked out. And then he looks at the woman and he says, woman, I don't see anybody accusing you. You're forgiven. Go sin no more. And the lady walks out. The woman walks out justified. So what's the point of the law? Jesus forgives everything, right? Do we need to confront anything? Another interesting tidbit I found in my studying, that was at the beginning of John chapter 8. Do you know how John chapter 8 ends? They try to stone Jesus. A couple scenes later, the Pharisees, the same Pharisees that were in front, who brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus, who dropped their stones, pick up the stones again to stone Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that is a sign of a reality of humanity. And that is so often we miss the point in what Jesus' desire is for walking with him. It points to the human reality of selfishness, of pride. And so this morning, as we go to Matthew chapter 7, I want us to see the consequences of judgment. That's what I want us to see this morning, the consequences of judgment, so we drop our stones and choose to care. I want us to observe and see the consequences of judgment. So we drop our stones, right, like the Pharisees, and instead of picking them back up again, choose care. My title of the message this morning is Choose Care Over Criticism. So you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And again, I'm going to take a couple moments just to review. Remember, Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The setting is probably up on a mountain with his disciples gathered close, crowds of people on the outskirts listening in. This was Jesus' directive, his first real teaching to his disciples. He was laying out a new way of life. And at the beginning, we need to keep reviewing so we remember the context of this. At the beginning, he introduces to them the Beatitudes. This was the model of living. He says, when these are evident in your life, then you are going to be the salt in life. That's going to bring the spice of life. He says, he addresses the law. He says, I'm teaching you these new things that I want to see in your life. But it's not really new. It's building upon the law. I'm not here to get rid of it. I'm here to build upon it. That was the purpose, to come to the law's completion. Then he addresses our theology in anger, adultery, divorce, oaths, revenge, love for enemies. He says, you've been heard, but I have a new way of living. This is what he's calling his disciples to. This is the context. And then he addresses spiritual practices in Matthew chapter 6. He looks at giving, praying, and fasting. And then he gets down to business and talks about daily living in Matthew chapter 6 in the end of the chapter, which is what we looked at the last two sermons, asking where our treasure is and reminding us not to worry. And again, as I dig in and study, I see Jesus' heart for his disciples. I see Jesus' heart for you and me, and that is to call us higher. He's a God of growth. He wants to grow these things in us. He's not after what men do. He's after who they are. I see that again and again as Jesus unpacks his teaching to the disciples. He's not after what men do. He's after who they are. And when they are, the do's follow. So, in the Sermon on the Mount, if I can summarize it so far, I see Jesus pointing out their inadequacies to tear down the confidence in their systems so that we are encouraged to respond to Jesus as our Savior.
I may remember the balance scale.
At the heart of Jesus' teaching is this. The Pharisees were focused on the law. They were focused on the truth. This lady committed adultery, therefore we gotta follow through. But they were missing the point of the heart. And so as Jesus unpacks these teachings to his disciples, he says, there's a balance here. You gotta be balanced. I'm building upon the law. But the whole purpose of the law was to draw your hearts to me. But it's missing the mark because you're looking too much around yourselves. You're trying to be better than each other. The law is the foundation. And I'm sending my son, which is me, Jesus, to bring grace. And so in the middle of this, disciples, Jesus is talking to them. He says, I want your lives to be full of grace and truth. And Jesus wants us to be balanced in grace and truth. And so that is the context that we enter Matthew chapter 7. As Jesus just pointed a finger to some spiritual practices, to some daily living practices. But it's not clear forward or straightforward. He doesn't say, you got to give this much. You got to worry about these things and not worry about these things. No. He says, that's where I want my Holy Spirit to work in your lives. Well, if there's not a clear line, when I see certain individuals buying this or doing that or going here, that's not right. So then I start judging. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We're going to pause there before we take a look at the next section. So the reality of humanity, which we saw in the Pharisees, which we see in ourselves, is a tendency to judge. But Jesus wants our eyes to be on him. That's the reality. And as we unpack these verses, Jesus is laying out the consequences of judgment. And we don't want to be those people who are quick to cast judgment. And so Jesus jumps right in. It's straightforward. Judge not. Don't judge. That ye be not judged. And verse 2 says, because the judgment you give is going to be come back to you. Now, that's the principle. Don't judge. Now Jesus starts unpacking it. The word judge, translated into English, could be translated from the Greek word krino about 20 different ways. So it could be critique, it could be advise. There's so many different ways that it could be translated into the English language. So Jesus is saying here, this is very broad, but be careful on your criticism and judgment to others. Just don't judge. And if you look at the words in verse 1 and 2, you get the idea that I'm not going to judge Eddie because I want to be careful how other people are going to judge me. While that could be true, that is almost a selfish motive. I'm going to be careful what I say about others because I want people to talk good about me. While there's an element of that to be true, it's bigger than that, in that the way we talk with others, how we judge others, critique others, is the way God is going to judge us. When we get to his judgment seat, I'm pretty sure that judgment could be based on our judgment for others. That's the bigger picture. I don't go through life worried about what other people might do to me. No, I'm worried about what does God think about me, not what you guys. It's between me and God. So therefore, I tread softly when I get beside a brother or sister and give advice. Because I want God to be gracious with me. Therefore, I extend grace to my fellow brothers and sisters. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Because how you judge others, it's going to be measured to you again. It's straightforward. It's simple. And then Jesus uses the illustration. Because when you see something in your brother's eye, a mote is something small. Something very small, almost like a
A pricker.
If you see a little pricker in your brother's eye, and you go try to take it out, but you got this big log.
I felt like illustrating this morning, putting a little sticker on somebody's forehead and attaching a big beam 2x4. Actually, Reach Students Chapel speaker illustrated this week. And if I come up to help somebody, my 2x4 is going to smack him in the face before I even get close. And we chuckle, yeah, duh, of course. Jesus gave that as an illustration to show how it is when we try to look at the little stickers, the little prickers in somebody else's flesh, and we've forgotten about this big old nasty thorn, this big beam in us, because we're too worried about looking better than the other person. It makes sense. Take care of it. Get rid of that beam first, and then you go help. So as I'm reading down across here, I see Jesus saying, don't judge. I see Jesus saying, take care of your life before you help another brother. Well, I'm sorry, I'm never perfect. So you're not going to hear any advice from me. I don't want, what if I didn't take care of everything in my life? Is that where we end up? Keep going. Verse 5. Thou hypocrite. Okay, hypocrite, somebody who tries to keep take care of the little thing in somebody else's life when they got something big going on in their life. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then you're going to see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So there is a place to speak truth into somebody else's life. Illustration. Spencer, you remember my story from Grenada? My cousin Eddie was visiting me, and we were jumping on rocks. All his fault. He was challenging me to... I'm picking on Eddie this morning. We were jumping rocks, and I missed my step, and I landed in a cactus. Yep, remember that story? I hit the cactus, and my back was full of them. Aunt Sue was there. So Aunt Sue ran to her purse. She said, I got just the trick. I'm going to get all those prickers out. And she grabbed a big chip. Crippers, and she was ready to pull all these prickers out. No, I shouldn't put Sue in that light. Would have this worked? Oh yeah, it would have worked. A little too much. She would have got all those prickers and some flesh. Probably more flesh than prickers. Instead, she went to her purse like a good aunt would. And she got a little tweezers. And that did the trick. Oh, it hurt. All 1,000 of them. One by one, my mom and Aunt Sue pulled the prickers out. It hurt. The process was painful. But I felt their care. They were rubbing my arm. They were soothing me. It's going to be all right, Zach. And before long, my back was okay. It was all right. It was healing. I think that's the analogy that Jesus was trying to get to. Too many times, the beam in our own lives, our desire to help another brother's faults, another sister's faults, is too often like the big clippers. Ready to get rid of that. Eddie, you gotta get rid of that in your life. And a hunk of flesh comes with it because I didn't understand the context. However, when we choose to go to Jesus and say, God, search me, try me. I see this thing in my brother. It hurts me. Help me talk to him. And then I grab the tweezers and I put my arm around the brother. I see this thing. I want to help you get rid of it. You see, I have a pricker in my life too. That's where healing can happen. So, brothers and sisters, judgment, criticism is like the big pinchers. But love and care is needed. Truth is needed. That's like the little tweezers. That's what Jesus is saying. Be careful when you're judging. Take care of the things in your life. But it is necessary for you to talk to your brothers and sisters. It's needed. And I'm pretty sure that too often we've erred to the side of just being quiet. And that's just as hurtful as grabbing the big pincers. If we really love our brothers and sisters, if you love me, you're going to grab the tweezers. We have to. We need it. But sometimes these verses scare us. Judge not. No, there's a place for love and care to pull out those little prickers. And it's needed. So Jesus says, be careful about your judgment. Take care of the stuff in your life. And then he says an interesting sentence in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. If I make me a big steak, I'm not going to go invite the neighborhood dogs over. Duh. That would be stupid. I don't take my coins and my cash and go take it out to the Big Ben for their betting. Duh. That would be stupid. He says, don't do that, because they're just going to trample it. I think what Jesus is saying is, sometimes people aren't ready to hear everything. So you got to be sensitive to when they're ready for it. You got to be careful. The timing has to be right. The care, the arm around the shoulder has to be right. We don't pull an unbeliever off the streets and try to force our church guidelines down their throat. No, it'd be pointless. There's a place for it. There's a place for certain things. There's a place to speak truth. And so use discernment. So as I read down across these verses, I'm not supposed to judge. How I judge others is going to come back to me. I got some big beams going on in my eyes I got to get rid of before I can help you. And I need discernment to know what the right time for this is. How many of you are feeling helpless? This is the context of when hope comes. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Brothers and sisters, when we have a heart of care, truth needs to be spoken. And Jesus says, I'm ready to help you navigate it. When you get rid of your pride, when you get rid of the things in your life and come to me with the posture of Elijah in our Sunday school lesson, I want to help you because I care about the church. I care about brothers and sisters, my children. Therefore, it is necessary that you seek my face because I'm going to show you the prickers, the things that need taking care of, because I'm a God of growth. I want to bring healing. Because you let those prickers in your flesh, it's going to get infected. It's going to ooze. It's going to turn into the beam. So that's the context of this verse. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Sometimes we need to put salve on a little pricker in our flesh. Did you ever see a pricker embedded deeply in your flesh? You said, I don't want the pain of digging that out tonight. So you put on some bacon or you put on some salve to try to work it to the top. You wait till the next day. Jesus says, in that same way, I'm going to show you when you need to put on the salve, when you need to prepare, because you need each other. Because, children, think about your father. A father's not going to ask for a child's not going to ask for a gift and the father gives him a stone. No. As a father, I want to give good gifts to my children. Jesus uses that analogy next.
He says, if you ask a fish, give him a serpent. No, that doesn't make sense. A father wants to give good things to his children. He says, I'm like that. The difference between a bad father, and when I think of giving a stone instead of bread, or a serpent instead of fish, I think of the story Light from Heaven by Annie Kaufman. How many of you read that book? I'm going to read it. It's a good read sometime. Joseph was the son. Forget the dad's name. But the dad was cruel, and the only thing he was focused on was money. And legit, at Christmas, he would wrap a gift, put it on their table, and it would be a hot coal. And he would laugh. And he would laugh about this. Because for once, they saw gifts on their table. And no, it was just a coal. That's a bad father. A good father is going to give gifts to their children. And God is saying the difference between a good and a bad father is not even comparable to the difference between a good father and me. I'm so much better. When you come to me seeking the good of your brothers and sisters, I'm going to give it to you. That's the context of the verse. Ask and it shall be given to you. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? I'm so much better than that. So we have hope. In verses 1 to 5, he says, be careful of your judgment. But then he says it's necessary. He says, don't feel hopeless. I'm going to give you hope because I'm going to walk with you. Speaking truth is needed. Verse 12 is the foundation. And it's a simple truth that we all heard in the form of a golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the basis of helping brothers and sisters walk through life. Is do unto others what you would have them do unto you. There was a time in my life, I remember, when I was involved in some things I shouldn't have been. And I was almost hoping that someone would catch me. I didn't want to confess, but if someone caught me, I knew it would be painful. But then it would be in the light. Can any of you relate to that? I think in that same way, when we see a stick or a pricker in somebody else's life, if there was something in our lives that needed addressed, I would want somebody to come to me. Therefore, I need to do to my brother what I would want him to do to me. And that is picking up the tweezers. That's putting an arm around my shoulder and saying, Zach, we need to get this pricker out. And sometimes in that process, when you put the arm around, you get close to get the pricker out. Oh, that's a mole. Oh, that's a scar. Ah, that brings context. And we help them through that scar. Therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So there's consequences when we judge. And Jesus' desire is to be like the Pharisees. Drop the stones. Turn around. Walk out. Take care of the beam in our eye. But don't just let it. We got to seek God. Go get the tweezers and get beside our brothers and sisters. That's what we need in this group. There's hope because Jesus will walk with us. So it's simple. It's straightforward. Jesus is saying, don't judge. Ask me. I will show you when truth needs to be spoken. So we see the consequences of judgment. We can envision ourselves dropping the stones. How do we choose care then? What does care look like? Because it's needed. Truth is needed. We need to address and help each other walk through life. We need to drop the stones. That's the first way we can show care, is when I'm seeing things in my brothers and sisters, and I feel accusational. I want to get this, and I want to go take care of it, because it's something you got to get rid of. I put that down, because in reality, the things that we see as beams in our brother and sister are often just little motes, just little things. So be careful when we have the feeling of accusations and criticism. And brothers and sisters, before you talk to anybody else about the beams in somebody else's life, go talk to them first. Gossip is judgment. And it's something our culture does poorly at. We like to talk about other people, things we don't see, because we do have our culture in church, in our Mennonite way of life. And when we don't see that, we like to talk. Be careful. Drop the stones. Then, secondly, how do we care? Seek the Spirit. Ask and it shall be given to you. If you do see those beams or those motes in other people's life, get on your knees. Ask God to show you the proper way. Does this one need salve? Does this one need a group of guys to surround him? Does this one need some time? Does this one need prayer? Don't let it rest, but seek the Spirit. Prayer will bring care. Prayer will bring care. If you spend 2 weeks praying, 3 weeks, a month, before you address somebody, you will have a heart of care. God will show you. We need to pray more, talk less. Seek the Spirit. Thirdly, take the tweezers. We too often just forget about the tweezers. It'll be okay. It'll work itself out. But if we don't help with the stickers, the things that we see in people's lives, it's going to turn into the beams. So talk about the little things. Get the tweezers, because now we're caring. How do we choose care? We drop the stones, we seek the Spirit, and we take the tweezers. So, how can God use you this week? Don't cast judgment. Show care. And you see, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says what? The Beatitudes. And he says, you are salt and light. And one more quick thing. What does salt do on a cut? It burns. It stings. Too often, we interpret someone's admonishment as prejudice and judgment. But brothers and sisters, the reality is truth stings. We are not going to be perfect with our tweezers. Sometimes we're going to get too much flesh. We're human. And so if you're on the receiving end of the tweezers, look past the individual. Don't hold grudges. What is God trying to teach me through this? Truth does sting. So don't try to justify. That's the same as judgment. Justify and judgment have no place in the life of growth of a believer. We are salt and light. Salt will sting. So don't interpret someone's admonishment as prejudice and judgment. While it may be that sometimes, we can look beyond that. We can drop the stones. We can seek the Spirit. We can take the tweezers. And if we do that, brothers and sisters, God can grow us. God can use each other to grow us to be closer to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words on the Sermon on the Mount. And you call out bluntly the principle of judgment. And as humans, we too often judge, criticize. We grab the big pincers, ready to get rid of the thorns that we see. And you warn us of that. but I pray we would fall on our knees and ask you to show us, to seek, to knock down the door for what you would have us do in growing our brothers and sisters. Because it's needed. Truth is needed. So would you help us be balanced in grace and in truth? Would you help us drop the stones? Would you help us seek the Spirit? And would you help us pick up the tweezers and show care to each other? In Jesus' name, amen. Joel, song please.